Amen. If you're taking notes tonight, the title of the message tonight is Courage, the Character to Stand Strong. Courage, the Character to Stand Strong. Now, if you were here last week, you remember Pastor Luke brought a wonderful message entitled Our Place in This Place. How many of you are here for that? That was a great... How many of you are here for that? Amen. And I encourage you, I really want to encourage you, if you have not heard the message, you can go online, go to our website, www.rockchurch.com. You can go to our message archive, click on Young Adults, and you can check out that message. That message was absolutely a wonderful message. And we're going to be picking up, kind of jumping off of that message into some things tonight. But if you remember, if you're here last week, we're not going to turn there today. We're just going to kind of jump off from it. But if you remember last week in John chapter 15, verses 18 through 21, Jesus comes along and he says, hey, you are not of this world. I have pulled you out of the world. I have brought you to myself. I have brought you into my family. You are now in the kingdom of God. You guys remember that? All right, and so then he comes along and says, and not only have I brought you out of the world, not only have I brought you to myself, made you a part of my family, saved you, delivered you, healed you, amen. But you need to understand that now that you're a Christian, now that you're a follower of Christ, you know what, and you're not of the world, you're going to face persecution. You're going to face peer pressure. You're going to face the world criticizing you and giving you a hard time now that you've left it behind. Is everybody following me tonight? Some of you are looking at me like, what, Pastor Joe, what are you talking about? So he says it this way. He says, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, if I came to earth and I lived the perfect life, I did everything that my father wanted me to do, and yet the world persecuted me, in fact, crucified me, you've got to know a servant is not greater than his master. They're also going to persecute you. They're also going to give you a hard time. You're also going to be criticized for having left the world behind. How many realize tonight that as a Christian, you should have left the world behind? Dang, I should have got a bigger amen than that, but I'm going to keep on going on tonight. So if you'll turn with me in your Bibles, with that in mind, with those thoughts in mind that, we are not of this world. We are going to be different. The world is going to persecute. The world is going to criticize. With those things in mind, turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to read verses 13 and 14. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. And this is Jesus talking here, and he says this. Actually, I'm in the wrong chapter, so hold on, let me get there. He says this. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. He says, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. And so all of a sudden, Jesus comes along and he says, there are two kinds of people. There are a group of people, in fact, they are the large majority of people who are bent on destruction. And they're going to take their lives and they're going to go in this direction. But then there's another group of people, and they're a smaller group of people. These people have found the path of life, and these people are going to go this way in this direction. Now, how many of you realize tonight that when it comes to God and the world, there is no intertwining, there is no intermingling. God and the world are not going to get along. They're not going to go down the same track of life. They're two completely separate entities. The world has its own belief system. The world has its own way of conducting itself in life. The world has its own reasonings and so on and so forth. How many of you realize that God also is his own entity, has his own rules, has his own way of conducting himself in life? And how many of you realize today, and the reason why we're bringing this out is because I find that young people in America, young people in the church, don't understand that God and the world will never mingle. They're never going to come together. You're not going to get them ever to intertwine. There will never be a peace treaty between God and the world. We need to hear that more in American churches. The reason why I say that is because, I find Christians today throughout their life fighting and striving and arguing and reasoning why they're allowed to be a Christian and... let me put it to you like this. I've been in shift since it started, when Pastor Dan started. It's now 7 or 8 years, something like that, a long time, Pastor Luke and I. And since I can remember, the argument has still been the same. Christians want to argue why they can be a Christian and still drink. They want to argue why it's okay for them to be a Christian and still smoke. It's okay for me to be a Christian and still have sex outside of marriage. It's okay for me to be a Christian and still go clubbing. It's okay for me to be a Christian and be a homosexual. Hello? So what I'm trying to tell you all today is I hope that everybody in the house today understands that, you know what, you got God here and you got the world here and they're never going to come together, baby. It's not going to work. And so you and I need to come to a place in our Christian walk where, you know, we say, I'm not trying to fit in with the world. I'm not worried about my rights and what I can get away with as a Christian. No, I understand that I've left the world behind. That's what Pastor Luke was talking about last week. We are not of this world. You are different. Amen. So he comes along and says, enter by the narrow gate. He said, for wide is the gate. And broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. You know what, guys? The bottom line is that the world is bent on destruction. The world is happy. The world wants to cling to the darkness. The world, by and large, is okay with the decay of life. And you know what? As far as the world is concerned, the world will only continue to get worse and worse. You know, we had 2011, you know, as Christians, and you know what? Some great things happened in 2011. Amen. There were some good things that God was also faithful to bring us through the difficult times. And so as Christians, you know, we closed out 2011 and we're looking for a better 2012 in Jesus' name. And the Bible says that we should be like that. Man, God's got greater things for us in 2012. But as far as the world's concerned, the world is only going to continue to get worse. The things that were acceptable, the things that were not acceptable 20, 30, 50, 60 years ago are the norm today. In fact, not only are the norm, but people come out in the open and they're just, you know, they're unashamed, unashamedly, you know, display what used to be unacceptable. You guys following me today? And I remember, in fact, I remember, that kind of makes it sound like it's a long time ago, but actually this last New Year's Eve, I went over to my cousin's house. And he's kind of got this like little tradition going on for like the past few years, and so he has all the family come over, and you know he has a big house, and so we all gather together, have friends over too, and we're waiting for the ball to drop or shoot up or whatever it does in New York, right? It says drop, but in the past I've seen it shoot up. Anyways, has anybody seen that besides me? Okay, so so they change it from year to year. Anyways. They push the ball down here, but it shoots up over there. They got it all jacked up. So my cousin has a big house, right? So he's got this living room, and there's a group of people over here playing a game. There's another group over here having a Bible discussion. They got the kitchen back over here. Some people over here grubbing down, eating. Got some people over here playing basketball. They got, you know, how many of you have ever gone to Walmart and bought one of those basketball hoops that hook onto the top of the door? Yeah, we got some people playing basketball here. Got some other people down the hall playing instruments, some people upstairs playing video games. So I made my rounds throughout this last Christmas Eve, you know, hanging out with everybody, having fun. And so they have the TV on, though, in the living room, and the whole time it's stationed watching, you know, Times Square, waiting for the ball to drop / rise / slide up. No, just kidding. All right, so we're not really paying too much attention. We're just waiting for them to get to a place where there's about a minute left. We all gather together with some apple sparkling cider. Thank you. Crash it together. Happy New Year or whatever. But as the night goes on, I glance over at the TV every once in a while, and I'm watching these different music artists sing their song. You know, the song that made it to the top of the billboards that this last year or that they got popular with or so on and so forth. And I'm watching these people perform, and you know what, guys, first of all, the way that they dance, inappropriate, the things they wear, inappropriate, the things they be singing about, nasty, all right, and so if you know anything about me, I like to pick on Lady Gaga, all right, if you can't see the world going sideways or crooked or off the deep end in anybody else, you can see it in Lady Gaga, all right. So Lady Gaga shows up and she's going to start off her thing, and she, you know, of course she gets everybody's attention because it's just crazy, right? So she's in this black ball thing that has this like jail cell window that she's singing out of, all right? And she walks down to the front of the stage, and these guys rip this thing off, or actually before they do, you know, it looks kind of like an octopus looking thing. And I don't know what she was doing. Somebody over on the side was like, she's trying to be a black widow. I don't know about you. I ain't trying to be no Black Widow. I don't like Black Widows. I don't know who likes Black Widows. If you ever pulled up in your driveway at night, seen a Black Widow in the corner, you kill it, right? It's, Black Widows are not like your average household pet, you know? So, but anyway, here she is. She's a Black Widow, I guess. I don't know. Don't ask me. And these guys, they ripped this thing off the top of her, and I was expecting her to come out half naked. I'll admit, I judged her. She didn't come out. You know, her clothes weren't too bad. All right, I judged her. But anyways, the point being is, and there's this other gal, and you have to help me tonight because I forget her name. It was something Minaj. Vicky? Nicki Minaj, never heard of her before. Her, some other Hispanic dude. And you know what? The way they're moving their hips. Anyways, the way they're singing, the way they're dancing, how they're dressed, moving, it's inappropriate. Totally inappropriate. Now, let me just put it to you like this. If you showed up next week and me and the shift band got up here and we were moving our hips like that, you'd all leave. At least I'd hope you'd all leave. Half of my band wouldn't do it. Elijah'd be like, I'll wear a Speedo. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, man. I'm kidding. Elijah, I love you. I know I could pick on you like that. That's why. He teases me all the time. No, I'm just kidding. But the point being is, listen, guys, the world is bent on destruction. That's how they have fun. They sing about it, they dance it, they live it. It's gross. They want to cling to the darkness. But while the world is bent on destruction, how many realize today that God is interested in you having courage and you standing up and you not giving in and going along with everybody else? God has a purpose. God has a destiny. God has a plan for each and every one of your lives and the generations to follow that come from your lives. He wants you to be like the little salmon swimming upstream. You've ever watched National Geographic and you've seen that little fish jump out of the water going uphill, upstream. That's what God has called you to do. That's what God has called you to be. You are a holy generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are God's own chosen people. Hello. Called to proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Into his marvelous light. You and the world are two vastly different, completely separated entities. And Christians today ought to, you know, Pastor Luke, one of the things I like to hear Pastor Luke talk about is when he talks about, you know, how we are the light of the world, how we are the salt of the earth. We are supposed to be so greatly different than the world. But you know what I find today? I find in the church body at large, I find too many of us, we are longing for the things of the world, desiring, striving to be like them, fighting for our rights, why we can be a Christian, and ... when God has called you to so much greater. So today, what does it mean to be courageous, and what does that look like? I'm glad you asked. Point number one today, if you're taking notes, is it looks like a person who has an eternal perspective, who keeps an eternal perspective. How did I write it? Person with an eternal perspective. That's good enough for me. If it's good enough for me, hopefully it's good enough for you. But a person with an eternal perspective, what does being courageous look like? What does the character to stand against the current, to stand up, to be strong, what does that look like? It looks like a person with an eternal perspective. Now, how many of you here tonight, we'll just do a showing of hands, and really should be every hand, hint, hint. We'll just do a show of hands, but how many of you have ever encountered a situation in life where whether you knew it was wrong or not, you went ahead and you made a decision to do something? And then after everything, okay, yeah, people already raised their hands. Wait, you're not supposed to raise your hand though yet. All right, so all of a sudden, after everything was said and done, and you're sitting there and you're facing the consequences, you're sitting there and you're facing the repercussions, you're sitting there and you're reaping what you sowed, you said to yourself, man, if I only knew this is how things would have ended up, I never would have done that to begin with. Okay, yeah, all of us have been there. And so you know what, guys? God is so good that he comes along and he says, listen, I want you to know ahead of time before you get there, so that in your daily living, in your daily time of making decisions, while you're at college, while you're at work, with your family, and you're with your friends, while you're at church, I want you to know the outcome of the decisions that I want you to know what's going to take place at the end of your life. He's so good that he comes along and he tells us so that we don't end up at the end of our life going, I can't believe this happened. Why did this happen? Why didn't I know better? So if you brought your Bible, turn with me to Revelations chapter 21. Revelations chapter 21, and we're going to read just a couple verses 6, 7, and 8. Revelations 21, starting in verse 6. Actually, God is talking here, and John starts off, and then God talks, and he says, "And God said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts.'" He says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." And listen, guys, I don't know about you, but at the end of my life, when I stand before God, when I stand before my Jesus, my Lord, the one who saved me, the one who rescued me, the one who loved me so much that he pursued me and brought me out. When I stand before him, listen, guys, I want to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I don't know about you, but I want God to look at me and say, "You know what? I know, Joey, you didn't do everything right, but you know what? I am proud of you. You followed me. You made it. Son, here's the water for which you have been thirsty for. I want you to come and drink freely. I want you to come and enter into my rest. I want you to come. Great is your reward. Great is your reward for the rest of eternity. For the rest of eternity." You know, the Bible says that the rewards that we receive in heaven, they are eternal rewards. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. But anyways, at the end of my life, that's what I want. That's what I want God to say to me. That's the outcome that I want. So God says, "You know what? If you come along and you live a life and you follow after me, you remain consecrated," which means separated from the world, "then this will be the repercussions of your living. These will be the consequences. These will be the rewards of your living. That, hey, well done, good and faithful servant. You are my son. You are my daughter." On the other hand, if you're going to choose, all right, you know, I'm going to go ahead and go along with the current. I'm going to go ahead and give in to the peer pressure. I'm going to go ahead and follow along with everybody else, fight for my rights, why it's okay for me to be a Christian. And verse number 8 comes along and says, Revelation 21:8, it says, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So all of a sudden now God says, "Hey, these are the consequences. These are the repercussions. This will be, hey, this is sin's reward." That at the end of your life, you stand before him and he says, I'm sorry, you depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. I'm sorry, depart from me, you who practiced lawlessness." So the Bible says, they shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, what these verses are supposed to do is they are supposed to encourage you. They are supposed to instill in you the strength, the courage to stand up and go against the current. Are you following me here today? So it's kind of like this. If the reward doesn't appeal to you enough, hopefully the consequences appeal to you. All right? It's kind of like this. Let's pretend for a moment. Everybody put your pretend side on. I don't know. Let's pretend for a moment you happen to know the future. And you happen to know that your friend from work, your coworker, was going to call you in exactly 10 minutes. They were going to call you and they were going to invite you to a party. Now, because you know the future, you know that if you go ahead and you go ahead and you accept the party invite and you go to the party, you're going to end up getting drunk. And because you ended up getting drunk, you're going to go ahead and end up getting in a car and get in an accident, and it's going to claim your life. Would you go? That's more like it. No! No, you wouldn't go. Question, would you go if they started making fun of you? Would you go if they threatened to embarrass you at work? Would you go? No, it doesn't matter how much peer pressure. It doesn't matter what they say, what they do, what they threaten. You ain't going. Why? Because you ain't going to die. Amen? The consequences, knowing the consequences ahead of time, encourage you, strengthen you to say, in this case, I'm going to swim up the current. Thank you, Jesus. And so hopefully these things do the same. Hey, the person who goes ahead and follows me, who lives a life of not being of this world, they're going to drink freely from the waters, from the living water. The person who overcomes, they're going to inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son, or he shall be my daughter. You go the other way, you know the outcome. All right, so what it means to be courageous, what does that look like? It's a person with an eternal perspective. They keep that before them. Hey, at the end of my life, this is what I want. At the end of my life, this is what I don't want. All right, point number 2 today. What is courageous? What does it mean to be courageous as a Christian? What does that look like? Point number two, it's a person who's focused on being real versus focused on their reputation. It's a person who's focused on being real versus being focused on their reputation. See, I think this verse is probably familiar to everybody enough that you'll recognize it, but the Bible says that God is looking for those who will worship God in spirit and in truth. If you know anything about worship, you know worship is not just singing a song. Worship is really the way that you live your life. And so, in other words, God is looking for people who will live their life in spirit and in truth. Translated in San Bernardino language, looking for somebody who's real. Looking at him and say, for real. Am I the only ghetto person in here? No, I'm just kidding. Pastor Luke was teasing me because I'll just tell you, right? Anybody want to know why he was teasing me? I bought a hat, and you know how that you can embroider the back? Do you know how, anybody buy lids hats? All right, you can embroider. So I embroidered some stuff. I embroidered a scripture. I embroidered my wife's name. I figure I might as well do that instead of getting a tattoo like Elijah, you know? So I'm just kidding. So no, I put little symbols that that represented my car. I like my car. Anyway, so Pastor Luke was teasing me. You are ghetto. Maybe just a little. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, what was I talking about? Oh, yes. So that's when I said for you to look at your neighbor and say, for real. I didn't feel like I got a strong response, but so that's why I may be the ghetto person here. Anyways, moving right along. Focus on being real versus focus on reputation. Here's the bottom line, guys. If you're focused on being real, hey, I'm a Christian. This is what it means to be a Christian. This is what it means to live life in spirit and in truth. This is what it means to please God. Then you know what? Ultimately, it doesn't matter if you're on your job. It doesn't matter if you're with unsafe family. It doesn't matter if you're with unsafe friends. It doesn't matter if you're at college. It doesn't matter if you're at church. How many know sometimes you can come to church and meet some nasty people? It doesn't matter where you are. You're ultimately going to live the same. You're going to be the same person behind closed doors. If your focus is on being real, then it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, the outward circumstances, you're going to ultimately live the same. You are going to be the Christian that God has called you to. You're going to mime him. You're going to mimic him, imitate him. How many realize today that as Christians, he's our example? Anyway, all right? However, if you're focused on your reputation, you care about what people think about you, then ultimately you're going to live a double and triple and quadruple life. Why? Because when you're at work, you're going to appease the people who are at work. When you're in college, you're going to appease the people. When you're with your family, with your friends, so on and so forth, you are going to live to be pleasing to them, to get along with everybody else. And so what's going to happen is you're going to end up living a double, triple, quadruple life. And at the end of your life, like we said earlier, you're going to find God saying, what's going on? In other words, if your focus, let me say it like this, because these are our points. If your focus is on your reputation, you're going to go along with the current. You are not going to stand up. You are not going to go against the current. You're going to go along with everybody else. Why? Because your focus is on your reputation, on people pleasing. Revelation is chapter 3. You're there in chapter 21. Revelation is chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Sorry, I only gave them verse 1 back there, but so it's not their fault. It's my fault. So Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This is Jesus speaking here. And I want you to notice here what he says to this church. Now, how many realize today that when Jesus is talking to the church, he's talking to them, and it's for us today? All right? So he says, he says, and to the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. He says, I know your works. Now, we're not talking about this tonight, but I just want to say to you, it's interesting to me how to all seven churches, Jesus says, I know your works. He never says, I know your hearts. Just saying. All right, so he says, I know your works. He says that you have a name. You have a name. You are called. You have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. You have a name that you are alive, but I know the truth. You are dead. You are dead. In other words, you have gone around and you have appeased everybody. You have been worried about your reputation, what people think of you. And so everybody around says, oh man, these are the cool people. These are the people who are alive. This is where it's happening. But he says, I know the truth, you're dead. He says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know the hour that I will come upon you. Isn't it interesting to me that the people who live the right way ultimately will know when Jesus is coming back? Let me say that again, because you're looking, but Pastor Joe, nobody knows the day or the hour. No, they don't, we will never. But you know what? It won't take you by surprise when he does come. It may take you by surprise like, dang, I didn't know he was coming today, but you'll be ready. Are you understanding? You'll be ready. That's what I'm trying to say. But the people who don't live right, it's going to completely take them by surprise, all right? So he says, come upon you, verse number 4, you have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess him before my Father and before his angels. And so all of a sudden we get another picture of two different kinds of people. A people who had a name, who were cool with everybody. It was said about them, they are alive, but in reality, they were dead. And then you have, the Bible says, a few. Kind of like the first verse we started off, wide is the road and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. And then narrow is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find that. Just right here in Sardis, we see the same thing. We see a group of people who have a name. Their focus was on their reputation, so they were cool to everybody. But then, and then we have the other small group that says that they did not defile their garments. Why? Because their focus was on being real. Their focus was on being real. Let me say it to you like this, guys. If you as a Christian, if all throughout your life, in every area of your life, everybody likes you, I'd take a time out personally, and I'd examine my life. What is my focus really want on? Because you know what the bottom line is that if you're focused on being real, if your focus is on living a certain way, you are going to eventually come across somebody who don't like that, who thinks something different. Are you following me? And you're going to be criticized, and you're going to be persecuted, and you're going to be made fun of. So ask yourself, take a moment to examine your life. Is my life, in all the areas of my life, does everybody like me? Because really, you should have signs here and there of, you know what? Because you're going with God and you're going his way, there's going to be persecution because the majority is going a different way. You guys follow me today? So are you focused on being real or are you focused on your reputation? I'll give you one more verse before we move on to the last point tonight. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 through 39. Matthew 10, verses 37 through 39. Jesus says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Verse number 39, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So you can't, you know what? Forget about trying to appease people. Forget about loving people and loving the praises of people. You've got to be focused on being real. Don't come to a place where you're focused on your reputation, and therefore when God dictates for you to go one way and the people around you dictate for you to go another, don't be so focused on what people think about you that you end up going along with what they say instead of going the way the Lord would have you to go. You've got to love him more. I like how Pastor Luke said it. He brought out this verse. It says, what does a man profit himself if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? So today, you and I need to be focused on being real, losing our life that we may find it. Last point today, what it means to be courageous. What does that look like? Last point today, it looks like a person who rejoices in persecution. It's a person who rejoices in persecution. Listen, I don't know about you, but the bottom line is you know what? Persecution, peer pressure, being made fun of, being the odd person out, it doesn't feel good to the flesh. Isn't that right? And so, you know what? We as Christians, for the most part, Christians walk around and, oh man, I got made fun of today. I made the right decision, but it was no fun. All right? It wasn't any fun. And you know what? I understand that. At least you made the right decision. But you know what? For all of us, we need to grow in our walk with God. How many of you realize today you have not been perfected yet? You still have some areas in your life. All right. So you and I need to come to a place that, you know what, not only do we make the right decision, but you know what, we have a rejoicing heart and a rejoicing attitude when the world persecutes us. Hey, it's a good thing to be made fun of. Thank you, Antonio. Great is your reward. No, I'm just kidding. Let me say it again. It is good for the world to criticize and to persecute you. Thank you, Jamal. Matthew chapter 5. Just turn a few pages to the left. Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Watch what Jesus says here. This kind of boggles my mind. Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. He says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you. Hey, did you know that you're blessed when the world reviles and persecutes you? Watch what he goes on to say. And say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Watch what he says, verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. What does that look like? Yes, I won the lottery. Anybody seen anybody else go all crazy? Okay, anybody remember the old commercial for Six Flags and that old guy was like... That's exceedingly glad. When's the last time you saw a Christian? Oh, yeah, I just got persecuted. No, but you know what? We need to grow in our walk with God where we rejoice and we're glad when the world. You know what that means? It means that you are making the right decision. It means that you are following God. Now watch what he says. And it also means, he says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Jesus means what he's saying. Say what he means. All right? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. For great is your reward in heaven. Listen, guys, I don't know if you realize it today, but when you choose to be different than the world, when you choose to follow God, do you realize that you are storing up for yourself treasure in heaven? You are making yourself wealthy. You are making yourself rich in heaven. And just like we said earlier, the rewards that we receive in heaven are eternal rewards. They ain't ever going away. There ain't no Congress or House of Representatives up there to diminish the dollar. There's no economic crisis that's going to happen and you're going to lose your 401k or whatever it is. You are storing up for yourself eternal riches in heaven, rewards in heaven that will never pass away, that will never fade away, that will never lose their wealth. You know, I like what Jesus comes along and he tells the disciples. He says to the disciples at one point in time, he says, you know what? Don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And when the world persecutes me, you know what? I'm going to rejoice that my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I like what James in the first chapter says. James says in chapter number one, he says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For afterward, when he has been approved, he shall receive the crown of life from the Lord. A crown that ain't ever going to pass away. Ain't nobody going to take it away from you. It is forever. You are storing up, you are laying up for yourself treasure in heaven when you choose to follow God. Instead of laying up for yourself and storing up for yourself, oh man, you're cool. You got drunk with us. It's ridiculous. The trade-off. You guys follow me today? So, rejoice and be exceedingly glad when the world persecutes you. Why? Because you're storing up for yourself treasure in heaven, and you're going to be blessed in your life. So this is what it means to be courageous. Well, this is what it looks like. It looks like a person who keeps an eternal perspective. It's a person who's focused on being real instead of focused on their rep. It's a person who rejoices in persecution. If you got something good from God's word tonight... Thank you, Jesus.